Now that you know who God is, God made a way where there seemed to be no way. God continues to make a way where there seems to be no way. There's always a way with God. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. So you walk with him, you walk that journey throughout life, you can just continue to keep right on walking. And that's what God wants for all of us to do. So now, it's not only a question of what God is, it's also a question of how God is within us, and then that transforms us to become people that continue to do God's work and God's will, right? We're going to keep on keeping on, correct? Yes, amen, all right. So we're going to continue. You watch TV once in a while, you know, you have those cliffhangers that are around there sometimes, right? And it says, and you get to the where you think they're going to reveal the secret or reveal the climax situation, and it's going to be all resolved, and it says to be continued. I hate that too, exactly. I know there's going to be a happy ending, right? But when is it going to happen? To be continued, right? And so what does it force us to do? Wait. And then what are we waiting for? The continue, right? The continue, the after. That's what life is all about, is it not? We're always in a place of waiting and then doing what while we're waiting? Continuing. Continuing to believe, to continuing to have hope, continuing to have faith, and continuing to wait for the resolution to come, right? And we are waiting how? Expectantly, right? I mean, if a TV show says to be continued and you tune in the next week at the same time, what happens? There it is. The results are there, right? It's not like they're pulling a bad joke on you and saying, oh, catch us next year, next, you know, forever, forever, forever. There is an ending, right? They come and bring it to you, right? So we know there's always continuation throughout life, is there not? Right? Life is a continuing process, is it not? And even in death, there's also a continuation, is there not? Of course, because of eternal life. We know that, right? So wherever we are, we're always doing what? Continuing. We just keep on keeping on, don't we, right? No matter where we are. It's so important, particularly in times of trouble, in times of trial, in times where it seems as though we've hit a dead end. You know, that brick wall, and things seem to come to a screeching halt and a stop. What do? We continue. We continue to pray, we continue to believe, and we continue to wait for God to open that door, don't we? Yes? Yes. Faith is so powerful and so necessary throughout every day of our life as long as we're here on the planet. We all must continue to believe, have faith, and trust in God that God has a way out of the situation we find ourselves. And we know there's always going to be a happy ending with God, correct? All right, so you're looking forward to that happy ending? Okay, we're not rushing you out of here or anything, but what I'm trying to say is, while we're waiting for whatever it is that we're waiting for, we still continue. We still continue to believe. We still continue to pray. We still continue to serve. We still continue to love. We still continue to forgive. We still continue to do what God's called us all to do we not? All right, so there's no stopping with our ministries, is there ever? And there's no stopping you, is there? There's no stopping us, is there? Because we've got work to do, don't we? More souls to save, more people to bring into redemption to Jesus Christ, relationship with God. And we have more to do in terms of ministering to others and in terms of the needs that they have. And nothing's going to stop us, right? Nothing's going to stop you, right? Okay, all right. Beautiful. You're giving me all the right answers today. I'd love to hear that. Let's look to the book of Acts this morning. And in the books of Acts, you know, this is the early, early church after Jesus Christ resurrected. He gave the instructions to the apostles that they go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel, of forgiveness of sins and mercy and grace and love, and to go heal people and raise people up and bring them into the fold so that all the sheep could be together and there would be one shepherd and one flock. That's the ultimate that God wants for us all, to bring all the people together under the shepherd, the gentle shepherd, Jesus Christ. And so in the early church, initially, we know that Peter has the Holy Spirit upon him and he preaches about Jesus and people are saved and they come into relationship with him. And then one day on the way into the temple, there's this crippled man and Peter and John are walking to the temple and they heal the crippled man on the way into the temple. And he stands up and he comes into the temple praising God. It goes to show you the power of the Holy Spirit, how God works to heal people on the way in the inside and on the way out and wherever they might be, right? That's how God's Spirit works, to continue to heal people all the time of whatever it is that's troubling them, whatever it is that's holding them down, whatever it is that has them paralyzed. And so we see that taking place. And the interesting that also happens right after that is that the Sadducees get upset with Peter doing that. What's a big idea? And whose name did you heal this man? Like it's such an awful thing, right? And so what does Peter say? In the name of Jesus, that's how I healed this man. And they told him to stop. Don't be doing that healing stuff. Don't be preaching about resurrection. Don't be preaching about salvation. So what does Peter do? He packed his bags and he went back off to fishing. Oh, thank you. She kind of knows the scriptures over here. I got to watch this over here, Pastor Jamie. What does he do? He goes and he does it more. Don't you want to do more when someone tells you to stop, especially when it's talking about God, when it's talking about the grace of God, the mercy of God, the healing of God, when the enemy comes against us and tries to stop us and suppress us and depress us and oppress us? What do we do? And even with that, as 1 Peter 5 tells us, we resist the devil, we stand firm against it, and we keep on going. We just keep continuing, right? Okay, back to the book of Acts. I'll get there eventually. All right, Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. No one else dared to join them, though. Everyone had high regard for them. Why were they afraid to join them? Because the religious leaders over here, right, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the others were trying to upend them, right? But what were the disciples doing? Still meeting. The believers were still meeting. And more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. So they, you know, they, even not only in the temple, but outside, right outside the temple, in the streets, people laid down and brought the people down that were sick, and just so Peter's shadow could pass over them. What an enormous power of the Holy Spirit that his very shadow would heal people. What's your shadow doing these days? I hope and pray it's healing people as you walk by others. Pray for them, even if it's silently. Pray that they're healed. Pray that they're restored. Pray that they, whatever they need, God provides it for you. And watch your shadow. Just turn around once in a while and see who's behind you that you're blessing. Crowds came in from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they all were healed. Bring them in. Bring in the people who need healing. That's what we want here at our church. Bring them in however way, shape, or form that is. It may not just be physically here. Obviously, this isn't the only place where the Spirit goes forth. It goes forth through the power of prayer, does it not? Across the airwaves, across Facebook, across the miles and the oceans, when we pray for somebody, the power of the Holy Spirit goes and touches them. So if you have someone in mind or you yourself know of someone that needs to be healed, just bring them forth in terms of your mind. Bring them forth before God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be healed, mind, body, and spirit. Especially spirit, most important. Now, verse 17. The high priest and his friends who were Sadducees reacted with violent jealousy. Because they're sad, you see. Hey, I've said it how many... I have to use it. Okay. Violent with jealousy. Imagine that. They were jealous that Peter and the apostles were healing people. Why? Because they wanted power. They didn't want really people being healed. They thought that Peter and John would be getting money for this, because that's a lot of times what the Sadducees received. Anytime somebody was healed, they were given an offering. Pocket that money. So instead of, or maybe they didn't get healed and they still pocketed the money. That's because their heart wasn't right, was it? Because they're sad, you see. Right. No wonder they're sad. Their heart's not in the right place. They arrested the apostles and put them in jail. The end. To be continued. Have any of you ever had a time when you were ministering or praying for someone or wanting to do something to serve and someone tried to stop that? Or maybe it's your own self-time. Sometimes you get afraid and you don't know, or you wonder if you're good enough to do it or whatever the case might be, and the enemy starts messing with your head, trying to tell you that you can't do something, or maybe you don't have enough faith, maybe you don't have enough abilities or whatever it might be. Or you're maybe just told, just be quiet. It's not necessary. Let somebody else do that. If you ever had that happen to you, what are you going to do? Continue doing it anyway. I love to live by anyway. Do it anyway. If somebody doesn't even deserve it, you do it for them anyway. Even if they're a problem child, you love them anyway. Even if they get on your nerves every so often, you pray for them anyway. Even if they preach too long, you love them anyway. Otherwise, you'd be sad, you see. Oh. All right. So they put him in jail. But an angel of the Lord, here's the continue. You notice this? But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. See, listen, when you're doing God's work, even if you feel entrapped, even if you feel as though it's supposed to stop, even if you think, we better not do this anymore, an angel of the Lord comes and pulls you out of that mindset and makes a way possible for you to still do the work of God. Case in point, Christ the Cornerstone Church, correct? In the past year, there was a pandemic. There still is a pandemic going on, correct? And did we stop safely, wisely, through God's guidance? Serving God was more important, serving meaning serving God's people. We found a way or ways to continue to serve. Now, that's not to give us any accolades. That's just to show you that even if and when someone or something is trying to stop you, and many things come our way to upend us, illnesses, problems, financial issues, disagreements, sometimes even some things that happen in our own personal life that causes us to get thrown off kilter. Lots of things happen to us humans, don't they? Yes? But we don't stop and we don't quit. We find a way through prayer and through God's Spirit in us. Listen, it's only God's Spirit within us all, the Holy Spirit, that allows us to continue on even when you can't take one more step forward. When you're tired and beaten down and you're ready to give up and you can't take one more bad thing happening to you or somebody that you love. When you feel totally overwhelmed by all the things that are going on around you externally and you feel as though you just can't take one more thing. You come to that place, and God says, to be continued. He does. Somehow, some way, the power of God is so strong that in the midst of whatever we're ever going through, and especially when you can't take one more step, you can't find the breath to speak, you can't just find anything within you anymore. You're just so worn out, physically, emotionally, or mentally, or spiritually even. And you're dry to the bone. The Spirit comes and enables you, equips you, fills you with God's power. How do you think Jesus got out of that tomb when he was dead? He was laying there dead. It was God's power within him that came upon him, that went through him, that raised him up from that. that also tells us all that when we're at our lowest points, physically, emotionally, or otherwise, in our human body, that we, when we get to that end, God sends an angel of the Lord or the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us again, equip us again through His Spirit to revive us. And somehow you take that next step. And the next step. And the next step. And the next step. And then the way opens up. It's only through God's power, though. We have to understand that. Peter could not get out of jail. The apostles would never have gotten out of jail without God's power. We'll never get out of any of our circumstances that we find throughout our life without God's power. We need God's power. How do we attain God's power? Through the power of prayer, the power of belief, the power of faith, the power of still keeping hope and saying, wait a minute, okay, I might be in this bad situation right now. I might be behind locked doors, but you know what? Somehow I know, believe, and trust that God is going to rescue me and He's going to send His Spirit upon me and I will continue forevermore, right? So they get out of jail. And here's what happens. I'm going to jump to verse 26. When the captain with his temple guards went out and arrested them without violence, they were afraid of the people who would kill them and treated the apostles roughly. They brought the apostles in before the council. Didn't we tell you never again to teach in this man's name? Didn't we tell you? The high priest demanded. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about Jesus, and you intend to blame us for His death. But Peter and the apostles replied, this next verse is important one, 29. We must obey God rather than human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed Him by crucifying Him. God put Him in the place of honor at His right hand as Prince and Savior. So what has transpired here? Those disciples were told, stop preaching, stop teaching. But what do? They do just the opposite. And they preach the truth about how Jesus was raised from the dead. At this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member had a different perspective. Smart guy. He was a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert on religious law and was very popular with the people. He stood up and ordered that the apostles be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he addressed his colleagues as follows. Men of Israel, take care of what you're planning to do to these men. Some time ago, there was this fellow Theudas who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, and he was killed. And their followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. If they are teaching and doing these things merely on their own, speaking about the apostles, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop them. So here's the thing. No matter what we're doing throughout our life, if God intends for us to do it, if God intends for us to have someone saved, someone brought to salvation, someone healed, someone just lifted up in some way, shape, or form, someone taught about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, nothing's going to stop them. And nothing's going to stop you or me or us. Because the gospel still needs to be preached. People still are being told that they can't be a Christian and be of a certain type of sexuality or gender or age, or size, or. Because that's the Sadducees talking to them. Because they're Sadducee. So his advice is leave these men alone. If they're teaching and doing these things merely on their own, it'll soon be overthrown. But if it is of God, you'll not be able to stop them. You may even find yourself fighting against God. Here's the thing. Sometimes you feel alone as though you're going through this life on your own. Did anybody feel that way? Like you kind of, sometimes we think we can do it on our own, right? Maybe that's more me, right? I got it. I can handle this. I got this. I can figure this out. I'll problem solve it. I can figure it out. I can do this. Okay, I can do this. Then I can't do this. What happens? Oh, God, can you help me do this? Right? When we realize and know that God is what we need and who we need for anything in our life, nothing can stop us from doing what God has called us all to do. I'm going to jump down to the last verse, verse 42, because I think this pertains to each and every one of us. And every day, in the temple, in their homes, they continued to teach and preach this message. The Messiah you're looking for is Jesus. Pretty simple message. Wow, just think about all the sermons I've ever given you. And really, all we have to say is the Messiah you are looking for, the one that you need for your life journey, the one answer to every problem you have, the one way, truth, and life, the one way to salvation and eternal life, the one answer to every question you could ever have, the one power that you ever need for anything in your life going forward, especially when you hit a dead end. Anybody at a dead end here this morning? Nobody? Good. Okay, how about you on Facebook? Oh, I see a few hands. Okay, so we're talking to them this morning. Here's the thing. There is no such thing as a dead end, is there? There's only a life again. There's only life again. There's only continuation to be continued. So as we're gathering here this morning, know this, that as 1 Peter 5 tells us, that the devil is roaming around, seeing who he can devour, devouring, trying to eat up their belief, their trust, their faith, their hope, trying to just pour things on you and come against you in so many numbers of ways, sending people that are sad, you see, and trying to stop you from being happy, you see. And so here's the thing. None of those people or things or events in your life externally can ever stop you. Why? Because God's power is greater. God's power is always greater than anything. And all we ever have to do is stand firm in our faith and say, I'm just going to continue. I'm just going to continue. I don't know about you, but if ever I get a half a gallon of ice cream, my favorite maple walnut, yeah. And if I take it out in the half gallon form, I'm just going to continue eating it. Now, if I could do that with a half a gallon of maple walnut ice cream, can I not do it in ministry? Something I love, something you love, right? What you're called to do and be, your purpose. You're here to continue your purpose until you continue it in the heavenly realm. Now, I don't know about you, but if somebody tries to stop me from having the thing that I want the most, like my maple walnut ice cream, and my spouse happens to say, hey, you should only use like a little coffee cup of that. You still want to get in those slacks for Sunday. Positive thing, I would say. So, okay, all right. But there's a difference between maybe something that could potentially be bad for me that ought to stop continuing, right? And something good. Something good. Like believing in God, having faith in God, serving God, loving others, forgiving others. So this isn't so much about me as it is about you. You do realize that, everyone. Because I could continue preaching for I don't know how long. I can only speak the truth from up here, right? But here's the point about that. The only purpose of preaching is to help you continue. Continue who you are. Continue serving God. Continue serving others. Continue loving others, forgiving others, finding ways to get through your life journey with still having faith and hope and trust in God, and also continuing to help others find what you have. Remember when Peter, They brought all those other people that were sick and hurting to him, right? That's our role also as a church body, that you continue to preach that Jesus Christ can heal and save anyone from anything. And that's what you continue to do in whatever way you can do that. So we give you permission to continue your life serving God. Because without the rest of all of you loving others, forgiving others, generously giving to the ministries of this church, reaching out to others, calling others on the phone, caring for others, basically ministering to others, whatever way, shape, or form you can in your way and in your time, the work comes to a stop, doesn't it? Only for a period of time, because you're going to continue, continue, continue. So as much as this sermon has to end, I will only allow it to end if you promise to continue. If you promise to never quit, never give up on yourself or others, that you never stop telling others about the promises of God, and that you never, ever, ever lose hope, faith, or trust in God. And you keep on keeping on and continue that throughout the rest of your life, all the way through eternity. You promise to do that? Amen.